burning question?
April 30th, 2010, in Soho Ladies Meeting.
Okay. Anything you guys want to talk about? Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do, ask.
Sometimes I feel that, we do so much, so much of devotional practice, not that I feel that I'm doing a lot, but I just feel, but sometimes I feel Krishna does reciprocate, but not in a way that, we kind of forget about the material world completely and just take a shelter. I want to do that, but I feel sometimes it just doesn't happen. The more I try to get closer to Krishna, the more he goes away, I feel. I don't know. I just feel that I just don't feel as close as I should. So, what's the reason? I don't know.
So let's say that you're married and your husband has lots of affairs. And sometimes he says, oh, I'm going to stop, and then he doesn't stop and he keeps having affairs. One day he says, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. At a certain point, even you throw him out of the house. At a certain point, you say, this is enough. Enough is enough is enough. You can't live in my house anymore. You have 10,000 girlfriends, and, I'm tired of this. So one day comes, he says, okay, I'm actually done. Now, of course, he's told that to you before. So, at first you're probably going to be a little excited. You're going to say, wow, yeah, actually, I really want to come back. Now, are you going to let him back in your house right away? No. What are you going to do?
I wait for a while. I wait 2 months and see if he does it or he doesn't.
You sure will. Now, during those 3 months, are you going to reciprocate with him at all? Not much.
Not much, yeah.
It's a little bit, probably.
To find out whether he's doing it.
Yeah. Now, suppose he seems like he's getting better, and he says, okay, why don't we go out to eat, and you're sitting at Govinda's, and you're eating prasadam, and then you see him flirting with one of the girls. This is our situation with Krishna. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna. We've turned away from that relationship, and we've been having an affair with Maya in many forms for a very long time. And, sometimes we say, okay, I want to turn to God, I want to be religious. I'm sure this isn't the first life we've said that sometimes. And we don't really do it. So now we're saying, okay, I'm serious. So at first when we say we're serious, Krishna seems to get pretty excited about it. It seems that in the beginning there's a lot of reciprocation of Krishna, but then he wants to test us. Also, after we say we're going to surrender, do we ever flirt with Maya again? If we're honest, do we ever flirt with Maya again?
Yes.
So then he's going to, be a little reserved, isn't he? Prabhupada says many times. And he's going to test how painstaking the devotee is. Now that's really for our benefit. Because Krishna promises that once we go back to God, we won't fall again. So, he works with us to get us completely convinced that we want him. I mean, in a material relationship, we generally say there's some fault on both sides. So if your husband's had 10,000 girlfriends, you probably also weren't absolutely the perfect wife. Even though if we could say that, the fault was mostly on his side. But with Krishna, it's 100% on our side. And part of our problem is that we don't believe that. We think, I'm not really that bad, and Krishna's not really that good. That's part of our problem. This was made very clear to me. And see, if we're 100% at fault, and we don't see that, that's also going to have Krishna be a little reserved. If this theoretical husband of yours comes and said, well, it's your fault that I have 10,000 girlfriends because you wouldn't make lasagna when I asked you to, then you'd be, he is not really sorry. That's what you think. Isn't that what you think whenever somebody hurts you and they say, I'm sorry, but it was really your fault? Then you're not really sorry. Right? Don't you feel that way? So you'll notice that we have a lot of doubts about whether or not Krishna is really a good guy and whether or not I really deserve to be here. I hear those doubts in different forms over. And in one sense, that's kind of the root of what you're saying. Why isn't Krishna reciprocating with me more? Because we're rascals, because we're nonsense. That's why. You know, it's like your husband comes back and says, okay, I'm reformed. And then he does, you know, why isn't my wife letting me into the house and cooking for me and hugging me? And, you know, what's wrong with her? Why isn't she reciprocating with me the way I want? I mean, it's probably going to take quite a long time of him proving that he's changed before you're going to fully reciprocate. Especially if on the way he every once in a while just slips back into his old habits. So, you know, I mean, sometimes Krishna gives us some reciprocation. But we have to learn to love without that reciprocation at first. If I've hurt somebody, I have to, part of my rectification is that I have to be loving even if they're not going to be reciprocating right away. That's part of my penance. Does that make sense? I mean, the guy would have to be really, really nice to you for quite a while without your being really, really nice back to him before you would open your heart to him again. And if he thinks, I'm going to manipulate my wife by getting her flowers or getting her this or getting her that, and you know, so we're thinking, I'm going to manipulate Krishna by chanting or by doing some service, you know, I'm going to do this service, and that's going to oblige him. That doesn't really make it. Who knows what our mentality is? Of course, he does reciprocate with us somewhat because he sees, you know, that we have some sincerity and he wants to encourage us. But Krishna's not going to open the door to a full-on relationship that we're just going to walk away from again. What's the point of that? There's no point to that. He wants us back, and he actually really wants us back. And he wants us to come back and stay back, which means that we have to really see how our suffering condition is 100% our responsibility. And that generally takes quite some time. Seems to be a very difficult thing to do. Does that help you at all? And yeah, it's a lot of our tapasya. You could say, you know, your husband comes to you and he says, what could I do to make it up to you? And you might even give him a list. You might say, okay, well, if I could do this and this and this and this. But if he did those things mechanically and said, well, I did everything on the list. No, that wasn't the point. I did everything on your list. Why aren't you letting me back in the house? You'd go, whoa, wait, you missed the whole point here. Does that make sense? So Krishna gives us a list. He says, you know, think of me, offer your obeisances to me, chant my name, do service to me, serve my dear ones. Give us a list. But the point of that list is to change our attitude. Does that help?
We've been listening to a lot of Maharaj's conversations on different classes online.
Who's Maharaj?
Well, different people's classes. Okay. Yeah, different people's. And they talk about eternal, internal, because obviously sadhana is external. How can we focus more internal? Because I find that sometimes quite difficult. You know, you really want to reciprocate with Krishna internally and really want to. You can feel it, but how can
you do it more? It's a choice that we make, what we're going to think about.
Yeah. what we're going to meditate on, what we're attached to.
It's making that choice more and more. And first, maybe you'll only be able to do that for 30 seconds a day, and then you'll be able to do it for 5 minutes. But it's a question of making a choice. Can you do it 100%? No. Krishna has to help you. Krishna's put us under the control of Maya, and he can remove the control of Maya. But remember, he's doing that according to our desire. So in one sense, we really can't do it ourselves. But we can try. And we keep making the effort. It's just like, you know, you've got to let this wayward husband in yourself. You've got to open the door. He's not going to, let's say he can't bang down the door. He'll get arrested by the police. If he tries to just bang on the door, you have to open the door. But his behavior is going to determine whether or not you open the door. So Krishna has to open the door. Ultimately, the only way to be fully absorbed internally is for Krishna to manifest in your heart of his own will. So that's not something you can force. And that's not something that there's any mechanical means that you can do that. At the same time, there is a process by which, if you follow it with sincerity, that Krishna is likely to open the door. So you make an effort. You'll fail, but you keep making the effort. But you have to make a conscious effort. You make a conscious effort to hear the holy name, make a conscious effort to think about the forms of Radhalanda Nishwar and Jagannath while you're doing service for them. Make a conscious effort to think about Krishna's pastimes. To have the aspects of your daily life remind you of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's quality. Of course, then you have to be reading. You have to read or hear. You have to hear about Krishna's pastimes. You can't remember Krishna's pastimes if you don't know Krishna's pastimes. Of course, again, if you're just doing service, at a certain point, Krishna will manifest all his pastimes in your heart, whether you've read them or not. It's not that people who don't read the pastimes, who don't listen to the pastimes, can't have them manifest in their heart. They can't. Prabhupada says that in Bhagavad Gita 10.10.10.11. So that's possible. And frankly, each of us has a little slightly different route depending on who we are in this life, what our personality is. But we make a conscious choice as much as possible. And someday Krishna will be pleased with that, and he'll manifest, more or less, at least for a while, and give you some encouragement. The Lord Kapiladeva says you use your mind as a hook to capture the Lord. Ultimately, you can't. It's not really, we're not really meditating on Krishna with our mind, in the ultimate sense. In the higher levels, we're not even functioning with the mind. But in the beginning, we're functioning with the mind. It's like, really, you can't serve Krishna with these senses, but in the beginning, that's what we're doing. Does that? Make an effort. Don't give up. If you're successful for 30 seconds in a day, celebrate. Seriously. You ever seen a little baby trying to walk? Have you ever seen a little baby trying to walk? None of you have kids of your own. You have kids of your own. And you do. Okay. How old are your kids?
25
or 23. 25
or 23? Yeah.
You look like you're 25.
Yeah.
I'm a kid.
You were only 1 year old when you had your kids. Huh? Oh my God. How old are your kids? They have children too now. You're a grandmother.
Yes.
People tell me, yeah, I look like a young grandmother. Oh my God.
My youngest son had twins.
Wow.
One and a
half. Oh, wow. Do they live here in New York?
Hampshire.
What do they think of you being a devotee?
They think, well, my youngest, I think it's cool. my eldest son is much more reserved, he's more quiet, so he'll come around. And he's got a little book called Ronnie. So.
And how old are your kids?
I just have a son, 16.
16?
Yay.
So you remember when your kids were trying to walk?
Yeah.
So what does it start with? So first you're just excited that they roll over.
Yeah.
You know, that's exciting. That they can scoot on the floor. And at first they just stand up. Usually when they first stand up, they hold on to something and stand up. I mean, I had one kid who wouldn't do that. He always just slipped in the middle of the floor. He wouldn't hold on to anything. But, you know, they stand up just for a couple seconds. And then they plop down again. And you're so excited. You know, you call your parents and your brothers and sisters. She just stood up for 2 seconds. You're so excited. You know, and then they do that for a long time. For a really long time. Before they take one step. And then they take one step and boom, you know, they fall again, right? And the kid gets really excited too, don't they? As soon as they can stand up. It takes a long time before they can take 3 steps or 4 steps or walk across the room. It's a long process. But you don't find that the children get discouraged by falling on their bums, you know, or walking into things. They usually get bruises and stuff from falling and walking into things, but they don't get discouraged. They keep trying and trying and trying, and they celebrate. My point is that the baby themselves, what to speak of all the family, celebrates every tiny, tiny step forward. So that's the better mentality to take, because that's how Krishna feels. When we're trying to reestablish a relationship, he celebrates every effort, even if it's just tiny. Every time that we think of him with love, he gets very excited and he calls all the relatives. Seriously, it's like that. And we should also feel excited. And if instead all we do is just think, oh, so many bruises. I've been trying for 2 months, all I've been able to do is stand up for 2 seconds. I mean, could you imagine how you feel as a parent if your baby fell down, you know, if you're trying to stand, just sat there? So whatever you do, have as much determination as the little baby who tries to walk. They're very determined. Celebrate whatever you can do. And focus on what you're doing right. Celebrate. Today I was actually listen to my rounds for 3 mantras, you know. Or somehow when I was out distributing books, I remembered something, you know. I remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to South India, or I remember how Prabhupada came to London, or something. You know, something. I looked at the deities and I felt some affection. I was making a garland for the deities, and all of a sudden I just thought, I really like Krishna. So celebrate. That okay?
Thank you. Mother, I just wanted to ask you something about anarthas. And is it through chanting that our anarthas will eventually disappear, or is it through chanting that we become more aware of anarthas and then we have to actively sort of try and get rid of them?
Yes. Through chanting and through service, you become aware of several things. You become aware of how wonderful Krishna is. Chanting, I mean everything, especially the chanting, but everything, all the service that we're doing, they're basically reconnecting us with Krishna. Let's go back to that analogy of the, you know, unfaithful husband. So if he starts hanging out with you again, he starts realizing how wonderful you are. And he starts realizing how much he was missing. And as he hangs out with you, then naturally he just starts saying, why do I want these girlfriends? They don't really love me. They're just using me. They're just using me for my money. My wife actually loves me. So those things happen simultaneously. I mean, the guy's got to get some desire to give up his exploiting the women before you'll even sit down and talk to him. But you don't necessarily expect that when he says he's going to reform that all of his tendencies are immediately gone. And the main reason that he's going to give up his philandering, there's going to be 2 things. One is he's just going to love you so much that he's going to feel it's worth it. That, you know, I really want to be with my wife so much that it's worth it to give up these 10,000 women. And the other is just seeing that his relationships with these 10,000 women are not really satisfying. But those things are going to go on simultaneously. So as we do service, that we're associating with Krishna. And we come to think, this is really nice. I really want to be with Krishna. I really want to be with Krishna. I want to be in the spiritual world. I want to be awakened as a soul. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, so, you know, I don't like material life very much. By material life, we mean acting on the platform of false ego. We don't mean just, you know, I want to get free of the suffering of birth, death, or age, disease. We know I'm tired of acting on the platform of false ego. Or Prabhupada says, I'm embarrassed by this material service. But Indrajuma Swami said last night, like a dog, he's serving the family for so many years, but he still remains a dog. He never becomes anything other than a dog. So, you know, we've served Maya for so long, and we're still a dog. You know, it's like this guy, he served his mistresses, and he realized, they don't love me, they just like my money. So we see that as we're associating with Krishna. We see Krishna's really nice, and I'm not really getting anything out of my relationship with illusion. It's not giving me what I want. It's not really a satisfying relationship. I want to be with Krishna. And then Krishna removes the illusion. We can't remove the illusion ourselves. That's not possible. It's kind of like if you go to an amusement park ride and they hook you into the ride and then they have to unhook you from the ride. So someone has to hook you in and someone has to unhook you. But it's by your desire. So is that all right? I see it as a four-step. I personally analyze it as a four-step thing. You get close to Krishna. Krishna reveals. He reveals how wonderful he is, and he reveals the true nature of Maya. Then you choose. And then if you choose Krishna, then he removes the images. And if you choose Maya, he doesn't. If you choose Maya, he covers you. And that's based on Bhagavad Gita. You know, Arjuna got close to Krishna. He became Krishna's disciple. And then Krishna revealed so many things. Revealed the nature of the soul, revealed his nature, revealed the nature of the material world. And he says, Arjuna, okay, now you choose. Choosing is always there. I don't see that Krishna takes away our illusion if we don't choose. He may take it away temporarily in order for us to make the choice. You know, if you might say to this husband of yours, can't you see what this Jane is doing to you? Don't you understand? You know, you're trying to remove the veil of illusion. You say, you know, you think she loves you? She's got another 10 men on the side. And she's just siphoning away your money, and she's, you know, she's just going to dump you. She doesn't care about you. So you're trying to remove the veil so he can choose properly. But if he runs back after her, what are you going to do? It's his choice. He can choose that. So Krishna, periodically, he removes this veil of Maya, more or less, over our eyes and says, okay, what do you want? And that those are, I mean, in one sense, we're choosing every minute, and then there are moments where we're making major choices. If you perform your service with great care and attention, and you consistently choose Krishna, your advancement will be very fast. Just like in the same analogy, if this husband is really with great care and attention doing the things that you've asked him to do, you know, you've given him your list, and if he's doing that with care and attention, patiently, not demanding that, oh, you got to take me back tomorrow because I'm doing something else. And if every time you say, well, look, you know, hey, you can't be flirting with the girls in the restaurant, and he says, okay. And he stops. Then you're going to accept him a lot faster. Relationship will be established much faster. Or if he says, well, you know, I want to get back, but you know, I don't think I can do that. It's too much. Then you say, okay, I'll wait. Is that okay?
Yes,
yeah, sure.
like they say, I've heard it before, that sometimes when you get very close to Krishna, you get more problems. Like, so that you've done the material world, Krishna shows you all these problems, but the material world is worthless. And is that true? Because sometimes I feel, to some extent, one area of our life, like if everything is taken care of, the other area gets more and more difficult, as in...
Well, when you get close to Krishna, you see the material world for what it is.
And then sometimes everything goes away from your life. Like
yeah, but everything's going to go away from your life anyway. It's not that if you get close to Krishna that your externals of your life will get harder. They may get harder, they may get easier. He's going to give a personal prescription that's right for you. And he's going to, you know, it's like you deal with a doctor. If you deal with a doctor, you're going to get cured. The doctor may give you a way of behaving that makes your life immediately better, and he may give you a way of behaving that makes your life immediately much worse. Like we were just visiting Yajin in the hospital, you know, he's going to have chemotherapy, so that's going to make his life much worse. He's going to feel much sicker than he feels right now as part of getting better. But that depends on the nature of your individual disease. If you have strep throat, you go to the doctor, they give you a shot. The shot hurts for 2 seconds, but you get an antibiotic, you feel better in like 3 hours. If you have cancer and you get chemotherapy, you're going to feel a lot worse first. But that's individual. And if you say, well, I'm not going to go to the doctor because if I go to the doctor, he may give me some treatment that temporarily makes me feel worse. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I always find it interesting that we trust doctors more than Krishna. You know, that I'm willing to submit to a doctor giving me a treatment that's going to make my life a living hell for a year or two in order for the promise of getting well, which may not even happen. I may not even get well. Who knows? Maybe the doctor even misdiagnosed me. Who knows? Not infallible. But I trust my most precious possession, which is my body. So if you tell Krishna you're serious about getting free of illusion, he's going to deal with you individually. And then it's a question of trust, but the way he deals with you is going to be his best for you. Might that mean that your life will be harder this life than it would have been otherwise? Might be. Might it mean that your life is easier this life than it would have been? Might be. Might it mean that it would be exactly the same materially than it would have been? Well, it might be. He's going to custom design it for you. But everybody loses everything. Whether you surrender to Krishna or you don't surrender to Krishna, everybody loses everything. You're just talking about when and how. But there's no if. It's not that people who don't surrender to Krishna hold on to something and people who do surrender to Krishna lose something. Everybody loses that problem. And if I say, well, I don't want to surrender to Krishna because he might give me some suffering I wouldn't otherwise have had, then it's really like saying, I trust myself more to plan my life than I trust God. And if you think about that, it's absurd. I have no idea. Do you have any idea what the results of your decisions will be? Even little decisions. Even saying, okay, I'm going to come down here and we're going to talk from 6 to 7. Maybe some crazy guy across the place is going to shoot through the windows and kill me now, and if I was up in my room, I wouldn't have been coming. How do you know what decisions you make are going to result in what results? We don't have any way of telling at all. You know, deciding to shop an extra 5 minutes means that you get in the car an extra 5 minutes later, which may mean that you avoid an accident, or that you get an accident. Or that you meet somebody that you haven't met for 20 years who gives you a good business proposal that makes you a millionaire. I don't. So I'm saying, okay, well, if I don't surrender to Krishna, then I'm going to have control over my life. That's pretty funny. And then I'll make decisions and I'll make sure that I enjoy. That's the whole disease in the first place. And if I surrender to Krishna, he may make my life harder than I would have made it. You know, so I know better than him and how I should run my life, so I think I'll surrender a little bit, but not... I see how silly it is. It's really silly. But these are deep fears of me. Really, really, really deep fears. That's what you're do is you try surrendering to Krishna and you see whether or not your life falls apart. I don't know. Most devotees I know don't have a life that's falling apart. When I look around at people in the Hare Krishna movement, I don't see that in general their material lives have fallen apart. At least not any more than anybody else's material lives have fallen apart. It's not that members of the Hare Krishna movement are poorer and sicker and hungrier and less loved than anybody else. I don't see that. I see that externally it's about the same. We have people who are rich and people who are poor and people who are middle class and people who are healthy and people who are sick and people who have nice marriages and people who have terrible marriages and people who are ugly and people who are beautiful and people, you know, I see that there's a range. And the people in our movement who are, you know, if you want to look at some devotees who have really, really surrendered to Krishna, some of them are big leaders and some of them are little pot washers, and you can ask them, is your life miserable? Ask them. Pick somebody that you feel has really surrendered, or at least surrendered more than you, and say, has your life fallen apart materially? Do you have any regrets? And they'll each have a different story. Everybody will have a different story.
No, I've not seen anybody.
I haven't seen anybody like that either. You know, I mean, I did hear one devotee I met one time who was you know, living on the street homeless for a while. But some people out in the world that happens to. There's only one person I know. Other than her, and she was doing fine when I met her, it was a brief time. Generally, the devotees, they have a home, and they have food, and they have friends, and they have...
Except for someone I know who threw himself in river Thames. There was some Bhaktisa, I don't remember his name. He was
blame that on God. If somebody does something crazy, you can't blame that on God. I see Krishna deals with us individually. If I don't surrender, it's not that if I don't surrender there's some sort of guarantee that everything will work out better. Now we do say that sometimes if people pray to Krishna for both material things and spiritual things, Krishna will take away the material things. But if he does that for a particular individual, then that is the way to bring that particular individual to unlimited joy.
Like in my case, I would say that my son went away from me. So that was
But he might have gone away from your life anyway. How can you say, if I didn't surrender to Krishna, my son wouldn't have gone away from me? He might have anyway. You can't say that. If I had done this, this would have happened. You can't say that on an individual level or on a national level. If the Americans hadn't rebelled against the British, how would history have been different? Who knows? You can't say. I mean, it's wild speculation. You can never say what would have been. Who knows? Maybe you were destined to have something much worse happen to you with your son. How do you know? Maybe Krishna minimized it. But we're asking Krishna for unlimited eternal joy. So we want to get to a point where any price we have to pay, we consider to be a very small price. And mostly the attitude of the devotees, anything I'm suffering is due to my own nonsense. The whole reason we're in this material world is due to our own nonsense. So from one point of view, everything that's happening to us is due to our own nonsense. I wouldn't be here suffering anything. If Krishna had things the way he wanted, he never wanted me to come here. He never wanted me to be in illusion. Wasn't his desire. If you had a kid who became, you know, a drug addict, you didn't want them to be a drug addict. It wasn't what you wanted. And if they go to treatment, some of the treatment might hurt. If the kid comes and says, "Okay, mommy, I'm willing to go to treatment, but I'm only going to go through treatment if there's no austerity," you say, "Well, that's not going to work. Of course, there's going to be some austerity." Says, "Well, then I'll just stay a drug addict." Okay. Yeah, when you submit yourself to treatment, there's going to be some austerity. When you try to repair a relationship where you cheated on someone, there's going to be some austerity. Prabhupada says if you say there's not going to be any austerity, then cheating yourself. It's a question of being convinced that it's worth it and trusting Krishna. But, you know, what's the alternative? I'm going to control my own life. Can you even do it? I can't do it. I can't control my own life. If I could control my own life, I'd never get sick. I'd never get hurt. Okay? I'd never have any problems. I don't know about you guys. It hasn't worked out very well for me. I'll research something and I'll, you know, ask people and I really take my time and I'm really careful and I make a decision and it goes bad. And other times I'm not very careful. I make a decision, it's the best thing in the world. Yeah. No. Why not just do the best I can, put my life in Krishna's hands, and then interpret everything that happens to me as a benediction. That's to get that trust that Krishna's dealing with me as an individual. I'm no longer just buffeted about by karma, and that he's going to do what's best for me. That might mean giving me a better material life than I would have had otherwise. It may mean giving me a worse material life than I would have had otherwise. That's his business. It may mean that certain parts of my life will be much better than they would have been according to my karma. It may mean that some parts of my life will be much worse than they would have been according to my karma. If I just want to go on according to my karma, you know, maybe it'll be another 10,000 lifetimes before I get purified. But if Krishna puts us in a situation that's materially difficult, there's some purpose for it. Like if the doctor gives you some strong medicine that makes you feel lousy, there's a purpose. It's not that the doctors are giving this 15-year-old boy chemo because they hate him or they want him to suffer. And if they had another way of treating him that didn't have those effects, they would use it. I'm also convinced of that, that Krishna always uses the fastest, easiest, simplest, least painful way for us to make progress. Always. That Krishna never employs any means that's more difficult or more painful than what's required. Never. And I've also concluded that if we require painful or difficult ways, then that's something wrong with me. That I'm just too... And you can, by the way, you can see that so easily in other people. It's so easy to look at other people and see this person will only learn if somebody hits them over the head with a hammer. Can't you see that in other people? I'm sure you have people in your life that you know, you could tell them exactly X, Y, Z what they need to do to be happy. You can see this person is doing such and such this person is doing is causing them a lot of misery in their life, right? Do you have somebody in your life like that? Do you have somebody in your life like that? Okay. And maybe you've even tried to tell them once or twice or 10 times, my dear friend, my dear mother, my dear husband, my dear boss, whatever. You know, look, you often complain about this problem. And really, you know, what about maybe trying to consider that maybe you might want to think about this sometimes, sort of. And they just get angry. Or they just don't listen. Or they appear to listen for a while and then they don't really listen. They thank you and then a week later they yell at you or they fire you or something. And other people try to tell me you're not the only one. You know, other people also say, yeah, well, you know, this might want to think about this being something that you might want to look at. And they don't pay attention. And finally it leads to some sort of crisis in their life. And you thought, I saw it coming. It just happened to me today on the phone with somebody. I was working with someone on my project, and I had been telling them for months, this is what needs to be done. This is the deadline. This is how long it's probably going to take you to do it. and this would be a very good idea of how to structure the timetable. They didn't listen to me. They were going 1/4 as fast with all the preliminary work. They talked to me today and said, wow, I got to do this and this and this, and that's, I said, yeah. Oh, that's going to take a lot of time. I said, yeah. I said, you know what I'm going to say next, right? The person said, no, what are you going to say next? You don't know what I'm going to say next? They didn't have a clue. And I'd said the other thing, I don't know, 100 times. I finally said, you know, all those timetables we were talking about for 3 months. That's why I was talking about them, because I knew this would happen. I knew that this is what you'd have to do, and this is how long it would take, and this would be the deadline, and how much time you'd have, and then you wouldn't be able to do it. And now what? So, you can see that so clearly with somebody, that the way they're acting is they're going to come to a point of suffering. That now he's got to work 10, 12, 14 hours a day in order to get everything done. And I knew that. I could see it. And I kept telling him. So who's making him suffer? Self. I tried 100 times to have things go in an easier way. So Krishna also deals like that. He would love it if we would do things in a fast, easy way. And we just don't believe him. We don't cooperate. And at a certain point, we run into a wall. And we say, Krishna, why did you throw me into the wall? It's like, I didn't throw you into the wall. I told you that wall was coming. I told you how to detour around it, and you didn't do it. So I see it like that. Is that all right? I should go? Thank you.
Thank you. I'll go with my feet.